Coming up this Saturday is Light Up a Life. It's an event that honors those that have passed in our lives. And joining us from Peace Harbor Hospital is Liz Atkinson and Deb Suggs. Both are nurses with our hospital, and thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about Light Up a Life. This has been something that's been going on for a few years now.
28. This is our 28th Light Up a Life for our hospice.
For Peace Harbor.
For Peace Harbor. Yeah.
And it's probably about the fourth decade for that it's been an event. It is an event that it's across the country. Different hospices do it. Everybody does it differently, but it has been going on for quite a while.
Now, what sort of things happen during an event like this? I know we've done interviews about this over time, but people tend to forget. So let's talk a little bit about what happens during an event like this.
We have several different speakers speaking to remembering people, gratitude for them being in their lives. We honor vets with taps. This year we have a high schooler playing it on his trumpet. And then we read the names that people have submitted from the community just to say their name out loud so everybody can hear it and remember those people who have passed in their lives. And it's just a chance for people to help with their grief, but also remembering those people that are no longer with them.
Now, is this something that it's just a year of names that we do, or is it for any past? Because I know we do it every year. But can it be from any year past?
Any year. Mm-hmm. I've submitted my dad's name, and he passed 7 years ago. Okay. So it can be from any time.
Yep, yep.
Now, is this just a memorial? Is it a fundraiser, too? Is it a way, or is it?
It is a fundraiser. When we send out our notices to the people on our list, we are asking for donations. We have in the past had people donate at the door. And in the past, what we've done is we've had people donate, and then they give us a name, and we put the name on a star, a wooden star that we've painted, and we hang it on the tree. And then after the memorial service, people can come by the office and pick up those stars. Well, most people never picked up the stars, so we've got all these stars with names on them in our office. So this year we're going to do it a little differently. We're still going to have the stars. We're still going to have some of them on the tree. But anybody who wants a star to memorialize either their loved one or the event itself, we will have stars available that they can get. And then we'll have pins in gold, silver, and black. And they can write the name on the front and the date so that they can take something home to memorialize. But that just makes it a little bit easier on us because we're not wasting so many with putting names on them that nobody really sees the names unless they come to get the star. So we're still going to memorialize the person with the reading of the name, and then they can make their own star if that's what they want.
How many people participate in this on a regular basis?
Pre-COVID?
Yeah, pre-COVID, I think we would have anywhere from maybe 100 to 150. But the last 2 years, because of COVID, we've been doing it virtually. So this is our first event back in person. And we're hoping that we can get the same turnout. But
other than the stars, have you changed anything else? I mean, obviously coming back from, you know, the virtual stuff, it's going to be. But are you doing anything additionally that you have done in the past?
We have one of our nurses who's a per diem. She's going to be singing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my boss's boss to come down and actually say something in it.
Who is your boss's boss?
My boss's boss is Gurpreet Dillon.
Okay. And their involvement in Peace Harbor is, what's their position?
He is an administrator for hospice across system-wide.
Okay. What are some of the responses you get from folks when you do this? Obviously, you hear from people that
the families in the past, the families who've had their loved one on hospice, a lot of them really like this event. It gives them a chance because we encourage our hospice staff people to show up, the nurses, the social workers, the bath aides, for them to come also. And it gives those families a chance to reconnect with those people. Many times, while that loved one was on hospice, they were part of the family, and they really have a connection going on. And so it gives the families a chance to get together and see them one more time and thank them. And, you know, it's just a very, it can be a very emotional time. We have lots of boxes of Kleenexes mm-hmm. throughout the, off, around all the chairs because there is a lot of weeping.
So significant relationships are made during this time in a person's end
when they're
of life.
On hospice, yes, mm-hmm. yes.
And it gives a chance for closure.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I think
all of a sudden our team is no longer there except for the social worker who continues to follow you for the next 13 months. And then the nurses and the bath aides and the rest of us are just not there in your life anymore. So then it just can add to that hole.
Yeah, I can imagine it could leave a little bit of an emptiness.
Yeah.
There,
mm-hmm. So then you get to see everybody and hug, talk, and it just
helps
everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is the hospice staff a fairly big staff, or is it it's just kind of like?
There's 15.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's 16
of us if I count myself. 16.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a tight knit group.
I would imagine so. And what about? I mean, we're talking about light up a life, obviously, but is there sort of a support system for the caregivers? Because I imagine, you know, when you see the end of life of people that you deal with a lot, there must be some things that you carry with you as well.
We do take a time at the beginning. Every 2 weeks we meet to go over our patients to see how they're doing and talk as a interdisciplinary team. And at that time we do take a moment and reflect on those that have passed away in the last couple of weeks and give a moment of silence for that, and as well as we started tying ribbons on a wreath in remembrance of those people who have passed and reflect on how it was for us with that death. And then we just touch base and check in on each other, especially when we've had several in a week. We just make sure everybody's doing okay.
And our social workers are available for our own staff. If there was a particularly hard case, they know they can go talk to our social workers and they'll, you know, it gives them somebody to talk to. And as Liz says, they talk to each other. You know, the nurses all share the same experiences. So it definitely helps to kind of sit down sometimes and just talk about what happened.
Mm-hmm. And we have our chaplain, too.
And our chaplain. Mm-hmm.
I imagine it takes a special person to do that because I could never see myself doing that. I think it would just tear me up.
I could never be a radio host.
Yeah, well, you know,
it takes all kinds.
That's easy stuff. You know, that's compared to that.
It does. And I think that some people, and we've had people that have come in the past and tried it and found out that this wasn't the path for them. But the people that are there, I think, that stick with hospice, it's a calling for them.
Mm-hmm. The thing would have to be. I mean, yeah. I cry at fake deaths on television, you know,
yeah.
Let alone the real thing.
So, and it is hard. And you do develop those relationships. You know, I've been doing this for 11, 12 years now.
Yeah.
And it was when I came over, it was because I felt a calling and a desire to be here. And I tried to do Liz's type of job, and I missed the interaction with the patients. So I went back to being in the field. But you have to be able to show compassion and empathize with the families and the patient, but still be able to hold part of yourself back. Because if you gave yourself totally with every patient, you would have nothing left to give anybody else, you know, your family or mm-hmm. any other patients. So you have to learn to walk that fine line. But we always, if you're in there for any length of time, you develop a relationship with that family and even the hard patients, you know, sometimes those can become your favorite ones. So it is definitely not for everyone, but the people that are there, it is in their heart.
Mm-hmm. And I can imagine those going through their final stages of life everybody deals with a little bit differently. Like you said, a hard patient or a hard case. You know, some people are ready to go, others maybe not. And so you have to adjust to that.
The full spectrum.
Yes. Yeah.
For both the patient and their family, whatever that family may look like, it is the full spectrum of we're ready to what?
No. I'm fighting this tooth and nail.
Yeah.
And then you'll have those that you go to visit them and they say, I woke up and I said, why am I still here? So it is. You have to deal with it.
And then you have all the family members that are at different stages, too.
Yes.
One wants to let mom or dad go. The other one's like, no, we don't. And so,
exactly.
Wow. Yeah. That's got to be a tough position to be in.
It's a little maze that we manage through every day.
So the event is this Saturday. Mm-hmm. Is it too late for people to partake or be part of this?
No.
That might want to be?
No.
What do they need to do? Just show up?
Just show up.
Now, where is that event
at happening? The event center at 2 o'clock.
So the event center at 2 o'clock this Saturday.
This Saturday.
And it's going to be probably decorated, or is it just going to be?
Well, decorate. And we have refreshments, and we have a tree that we will light up. So it will be light up alive with the tree. We have the stars that we've painted. And then it'll be just a chance for everybody to come together and just hold each other during this time.
And we'll have a table out in the lobby with some information, brochures and different information on different bereavement services and groups and just hospice in general. A way if they want to make a donation at the table, they can do that also. So we'll have information there for the public also.
So additional resources that people in case they need a little bit more help or information. Mm-hmm.
Holidays are a rough time for people.
It is. And it's for everybody, even if they weren't on hospice, you know, if their loved one was died suddenly or was somewhere else or whatever, they can still come and get the information and be part of this group. I think it's really helpful to be with other people who are kind of going through the same thing as you are during the holiday time.
I never realized how difficult it would be. We lost my mom on the 23rd of November many years ago. And not realizing that every now and then it's going to happen on Thanksgiving Day, you know. And so you're sitting at Thanksgiving, you remember the meals you all used to cook together and all the people that used to come to the table. And that can be difficult. So I can understand where that would be.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Again, it's Florence Event Center this Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Yes.
All right. Liz Atkinson.
Yes.
Deb Suggs. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll see you all there.
And next up on the December edition of Our Town, we'll be talking with Harlan Springer and Bettina Hannigan. They're going to give us the review of what happened with their arts survey that was conducted over the last 18 months on the December edition of Our Town.